Lecture 6, From Sicily to Syria, The Growth of Trade and Colonization.
Hello and welcome back to this, the sixth of our lectures on ancient Greek civilization. In the last lecture, in dealing with the period that came after the Bronze Age and looking at that dreadful period of decline that we usually call the Dark Ages, I tried to make the case that by about the 8th century, the Greeks were reforming their culture and showing a new direction in the development of their culture. And I pointed out that there are going to be many different manifestations of this, some of which we're going to look at in future lectures, such as the growth of the power of Delphi and Olympia, the origins of the Olympic Games, for example. But the two areas that we have looked at so far are the writing down of epic and the development of city-states, polis. In the first of these, we saw that although oral poetry had existed for hundreds of years, there was a climactic moment towards the end of the 8th century when, for the first time, the Greeks began to write these poems down. And I talked about the importance of these monumental versions of the Iliad and the Odyssey, these poems going back to the Trojan War, and their subsequent impact on the Greeks as they used these as the basis for a moral code and the education of young men. And we also looked at the rise of the polis, at the growth of these larger communities, which are really very unlike the palaces of the Bronze Age, and which are also very unlike the oikoi, or households, of the Dark Ages. This is something new. It is made of a combination of households into village, into hamlet, into town, and so forth. There is one other great aspect of change in the Greek world in the 8th century that I'd like to concentrate on during this lecture, and that is trade and colonization. In other words, we're going to look both at the causes for these, why did the Greeks trade and where were they founding their colonies and why, but then also I want to ask some questions about the impact of these. What is it that in the 8th century and onwards we see the Greeks getting from their colonializing experience and from their contact with other cultures through trade and colonization. Now, a word of caution at the outset. When I use a term like colonization, our tendency normally is to think in terms of the kind of colonial experience of the 19th century. Probably you all, like me, grew up with maps of the world that showed various regions of the globe that were colour-coded according to the Western European country, which in the 19th century had staked a claim to that particular territory. The sun never set on the British Empire. There was always a red bit somewhere on that globe that where you could see still a British colony. But the colonial experience of the Greeks was very different. This was not something initiated by large nation states or by the Greeks in general. It was not designed to annex large areas of territory, such as portions of Africa or of Asia at all. It was certainly not designed to take a native population and to turn them into the labor force for an expanding capitalistic economy. And the colonial experience of the ancient world is of a completely different style and nature. The Greeks, in fact, have ever been exporting their people. If you go to either Toronto or Chicago or Melbourne today, in any of those three cities, you'll be faced with the claim that that's the largest Greek-speaking city outside of Greece. Because, like the Irish, the Greeks export their people, leaving Greece constantly. And this happened in antiquity as well, as Greeks left their homeland. But particularly around 700 and on, there was a fresh wave of colonization, which was quite different from the waves that came before or after, because it led to the founding of a number of Greek colonies all over both the Aegean, and more particularly the Black Sea and the Western Mediterranean as well. We're going to end up with colonies of the Greeks as far apart as Massilia in southern France, that's Marseille, Emporio in Spain, Cyrene, still of the same name, in North Africa, and my favourite of all the colonial foundations of the Greeks, a colony whose very name I think sums up the major reason the Greeks colonised it. It's called Olbia, it's in the Ukraine, and its name simply means wealthy.